DubLab.
Hello, this is Transduction Signal on DubLab Radio. I'm your host, Trevarsi, along with Orally Gal. And join us each month on DubLab Radio. For our show, Transduction Signal, we have a featured guest. They will share a live performance with us, then give us a short breakdown of their setup. We'll get into their whole musical journey and how they became a live artist. Orally.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year to you, too. Happy New Year.
This month, we have Joseph Kunz all the way from Berlin. He is a live performance techno artist. He's the founder of Raw Industries. And he also is the creator of Modular Music Magazine. I am so excited to get into this one.
Me too. What a way to kick off the year.
I know.
Seriously. Especially like all just leading up to it, right? Like myself and ALX106 are part of Joseph's collective. And we need to bring him in.
Amen.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Good morning to you. It's nighttime here.
Yeah, morning. Just woke up.
7 a.m., you guys. Just a poor thing.
Or did you just go to bed? When? No, I'm just kidding.
I behaved. I behaved last night.
Okay.
How is Berlin New Year's Eve?
It's insane here in Berlin on New Year's Eve. Yeah, there's nothing like it. The fireworks and the firecrackers here, it's insane. Like, it feels like a war zone, honestly. Last year was insane. This year is insane. So, yeah, it's crazy.
All right. Well, before we start drilling you and peppering you with questions, because I have a lot. I know Orally does too, about your setup, everything, what you're doing. Do you want to say anything about your video, or do you want to just dive in?
Yeah, we can pretty much just dive in. This particular set, I was using just two octa tracks. So it was pretty, there's a lot of like organization and preparation done, a lot of like sampling and resampling and processing in Ableton with a bunch of stuff that I organized. So it's meant for sort of a club dance floor. So it's a little bit more on the aggressive side, I guess. And nice. But other than that, I guess we can just kind of jump in.
All right. Yeah, let's do it. All right, everyone, mute up and here we go.
Okay. We'll be right back.
What a sick performance. Thank you very much.
Good morning. Hey, wow.
You brought me back to Remy's into the dungeon. It's freaking perfect.
Cool. Nice. You got to unmute yourself.
Yes, you got to unmute yourself, Shonda.
Do I work? Am I working here or are you working here?
Podcasting 101.
Hey, I was busy dancing, honestly. No, man, it was so good. Yeah,
cool. But thanks.
I love your sound. It's just, yeah, I feel like you really developed your sound. It sounds fantastic.
Cool. Thank you.
Can I start?
Yeah,
Go ahead. So you're only working with like two octatracks, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've had many different setups. Typically, I'm using more than just two octatracks, but I just wanted to simplify it, I guess, for this one. So I also have like an analog four voice synthesizer, also from Electron, which I'm using quite a bit. And I also have this older Dave Smith Evolver, which is another synthesizer. And I have a little TR-09, which is the 909 kind of drum machine. And a couple other studio pieces. For this one, I basically I used a combination of the hardware stuff and recording it or sampling it into Ableton, resampling it, and then loading it up into the Octatrack. And so, it was just the two Octatracks this time.
Nice. Now, is that, I mean, I've also have seen you when you play out, sometimes you do that too, like simplify the pieces. Like, do you tend to rotate in other pieces of gear when you're playing, especially like local for you, or do you try to keep it minimal or?
Yeah, I've been trying to keep it minimal as best I can. And I think it kind of depends what sort of sound I'm trying to deliver. So I think for this more sort of balanced, like club driving sound, I think doing a bit more pre-processing and a bit more organization helps keep that sound kind of maintained through the mix. I think now like I will definitely have my two octatracks and TR-09, the little 909 drum machine. For now, that's good. And then the only thing I would want to add on top, I think, is like a couple modular oscillators just for a couple synth voices, and I think that would be in the end my ideal setup. Something like that.
So let me ask you then, so with the octatrack, mm-hmm. The fact, so you record in into your Ableton and chop it up as you're putting it in, do you find that when you want to play with both octatracks, do you ever want to deviate away from that, or do you add enough music, do you add more than enough for like say an hour set, or like mm-hmm. how does it give you opportunity to kind of jump around or change things, or
no, my sets are like really quite structured and organized. So I'm basically on each octatrack I basically am flowing kind of through the different sounds one after the other. So each octatrack has eight tracks, and one of them is I'll have like my kick sub on it, and then usually another one I will have percussion, maybe I have two tracks that have percussion or something like that, and then the rest will be maybe an atmospherical backing track, and then a few different sort of lead types, and then I'm basically mixing the different elements in and out, and doing a lot of gain, up and down with gain, and some filtering and some other effects while I'm bringing in the sounds in and out. But for a live set for like an hour or an hour and a half, like the other night I played about 90 minutes, and I had I think a total of about eight compositions. So basically like four kind of songs on each octatrack. and I was basically going back and forth. So before I had just the analog rhythm, and I was doing all my drums from there, my kick and all that kind of stuff too. So I wasn't able to actually like mix two kicks, because I would always be like switching from one pattern that had a particular drums, and then I would have to switch to the next one. So with the two octatracks now, it's like having two separate channels for my kick and sub, so I can kind of mix the kick and sub now a little bit more like a DJ would.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, so you have like a song on one, a song on another, and you're going to have that approach of mixing. Now, are you routing one octatrack into the other, or is it like two that are going into a separate mixing board?
Separately.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah. I used to run, when I had the analog rhythm doing my drums and that, I used to run like the rhythm into the octatrack, and I used to run my analog four into the octatrack and all the stuff. But now, now it's separate.
Okay. And then, when you incorporate like the TR-09, for example, because I know like that machine, everything comes out the stereo pair, right? So do you use a kick on there, or do you have to get kind of creative with how you're routing?
The TR-09. So I had, like the other night when I played, I had, the two octatracks going separately into the mixer. And then I had, the TR-09 was actually going into the analog four. So I could put some effects on the TR-09 drums, because the analog four has a audio in channel.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the analog four was running into the mixer. So, with the TR-09, I was just doing like mostly rides and some hi-hats and open, some crash cymbal stuff. I wasn't even using the kick on it.
Got you. So just taking those classic, classic techno sounds.
I love like layering lots of percussions, like the tracks that I make that for the octatrack. Like for example, like a percussion track, I will already have in Ableton potentially layered like 2, 3, 5, sometimes different percussive stuff pieces.
Okay.
So you get lots of little layers, and then after that, on top, sometimes the TR-09 is like, you know, more dominant or stuff like that. So, and it creates a lot of nice like percussion movements, and
Is the vocal yours? Sorry, Sean.
No, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is the vocal yours? The little vocals that we heard coming in and out.
No.
They're so cool. I'm not a particularly a fan of vocals usually, but yours were pretty sick.
Yeah. I don't even do karaoke. It's just
that's like a no-no.
No, I'm like it scares me.
Nice. Yeah. No, it sounded I love all the elements of sound. I really enjoyed the vocal, that like dark, like this dark element. Like when you're making your, how do you make some of those ambient-ish washes or tones that you
very
cool.
Yeah, I was using the Soma Lyra 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's a new company here called Synth Swap, and you can rent gear. And so I rented that for a month. And I was just going crazy on the Soma and just like twisting as many knobs and getting all these really crazy sounds. Yeah, very guitar like. And then I just put like a huge reverb and delay on it, you know, so they just wash it out. And it had a really nice effect. So that's how I did that.
Yeah, no, it sounds great. Yeah, and I loved it. It mixed very well with the other elements too.
Yeah.
That's super exciting that you guys have the opportunity to do that. I would go rent everything, record all my samples for live. I don't know how we don't have something like that in LA. I would totally, or maybe we do. I don't know.
How did you get into playing live? Like, what is your, like, tell us a little bit about Tell us a little bit about that, your journey there.
Yeah. So yeah, I was producing for like basically 2 years, pretty intensively, like in Ableton only, without any hardware, and which was great because now I have a good knowledge of the Ableton tools, and I can really use those to my advantage. But yeah, it was basically, it came down to like some of my musical interests. So there's one artist in particular that I started listening to, and I think still is like one of my favorite artists. And her name is, her artist name is Xosar, X-O-S-A-R. She's actually American. She's from, I think originally San Jose, but she was living here in Berlin for quite a while, I think over a decade. And yeah, she was a live performer. So she was using a lot of Electribes and a lot of pedals and some electron machines too, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And yeah, I really liked her. I just loved her sound. It was like super raw and gnarly, and her sets moved kind of in a more interesting way. Mm-hmm. And she had quite an individual sound.
Is she still playing live, or is she?
Yeah, she's gone into a lot of this like holistic sound design. Yeah, you guys gotta look her up. I don't think she's too far from you guys.
Definitely, and especially if she's one of your influences and love your music. So
yeah. So she's into that. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into the live. So I actually, the first few pieces I got were pieces that she had, and I was listening to her mixes, almost only her music for many, many months. Yeah, I'm very strange. Like that's probably why I'm not a DJ, is because I don't actually like listen to too many different artists, and my music knowledge is like really small. I can't remember names of songs or artists, so that's why I guess why I'm not a DJ or something. But but I like when I was studying in, you know, Ableton, I would, and I still listen to like some mixes. I listen, like there's one mix I've been listening from Jamaica Souk. I've been listening to this mix for like, it's like a 2 hour mix.
Yeah, and fantastic.
Yeah. So I've been listening to like that mix for like, you know, almost like 2 years now. It's like one of the only mixes I listen to. And and I just like for me, I'm always like deconstructing. So like I'm paying attention to like every single element that's in the track, and I'm trying to deconstruct like how she potentially made that, and thinking of the different modulation that's being used. And that gives me enough inspiration to start making music on my own.
Nice.
That's cool. Yeah. Can we touch on the fact that on your journey from Canada to Berlin and how that's changed your sound from? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. So, I mean, Xosar was living in Berlin at this time. This is like pre-COVID, and, so I was sort of interested in coming here and hearing the stories about Berlin. And then, of course, yeah, just in general, people over in Canada, and I think in a lot of places, have a pretty high opinion of Berlin and the music scene and the party scene here. And so there was that. But I am also half Swiss. So I grew up in Canada. But my mom is originally from Switzerland, so I actually have a Swiss passport. Forever I've been meaning to like come over to Europe and take advantage of that passport and, you know, live in Europe and that. And when I got into the music stuff and the production, I thought, okay, cool, maybe I will spend a couple years like getting my skills up a bit. And so when I come over to Europe, I can kind of jump in to the music scene a little bit. And and then I came over during COVID, which was a really strange time to come. But I came basically March 2021. And Yeah, it's been pretty pretty crazy here in Berlin.
did you yeah, go in with that? Like with references with people that you knew, because it's pretty tough to get into the to break into the industry in Berlin. It's so oversaturated with talent and so
yeah.
How did you make that happen?
Yeah.
So I didn't I didn't know anyone here, like zero. Not a single person before I came. And
I love it. That's gutsy. I mean, yeah. I love that's part of the fun sometimes, yeah. You know, moving somewhere.
yeah. It was a bit risky for a number of reasons. Like, one, I had to, like, in Montreal, I had to move out of my, like, of course, I had to move out of my apartment and, you know, pack up all my stuff and all this. And I had to get this negative corona test. This is before the vaccines and all this. So, like, you know, if I hadn't been positive or something like this, I would have been totally screwed. I had an Airbnb booked here for like a month and had all my stuff packed. I moved out of my apartment and all this and my planes tickets booked and all this. So it was pretty risky in a way, but And then I also had never visited Berlin. So I kind of just moved directly without even seeing the city or visiting. So that was another kind of interesting thing. And yeah, and then when I came, it was like a lockdown situation here. So, you know, even most of the restaurants were closed and all the clubs were closed. And but my idea was that I could get over here, you know, like find a place, settle down, like get my studio kind of set up, start making music again, get familiar with the layout of the city and that. And then as the city opened up again, I would kind of be here already and then kind of hopefully kind of come up with the opening and kind of work my way into the industry somehow that way. But
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Starting over with everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, not, you know what I mean? Obviously there's artists that have been playing established, they live there, but it was almost like a reset.
Totally.
So
yeah, totally. But yeah, the city's you know, very inspiring with the club scene here. And then when things did open, it's been a lot of fun. And you know, I think it's already quite a bit different than it was before corona, and of course, you know, 5-10 years ago. But but for me coming, it's been pretty magical. And
but what was the first like knock that you did to like for a door to open for you to be able to actually get in? And I mean, maybe it was the corona was a reset, so everybody was kind of like reintroduced to the scene, so it might have been the perfect timing. But
still. Yeah, I mean, I was looking for live to go to live shows, like to and I actually went in to Schneider's lot in the synth store here. To ask them like where to go. Jacko was working and she basically didn't really have an answer. She's like, well, there was this one place, but I think they closed. And so I was really surprised, you know, at how little there was going on that was like, you know, really easy to find or obvious in the live scene. And then I found one event with the Berlin Modular Society, which I went to. Yeah, and they were at this, you know, little spot with not so good sound and, I don't know, 20 people or something like this. So, I joined up with them and we worked together for a little while, 6 months or so, and found a better location. And you know, kind of branded it, and I did some marketing on Instagram and that. And so then we started to get quite a bit more people out, and had a lot of different artists start playing. And so that's kind of how I got started. And then I, you know, I'm used to doing my own projects and kind of having my own creative control and that. So I had some concepts for what I wanted to do, and yeah, that's when I started Raw Industries. And so doing some events with Raw Industries, and then now we have the label, which I have here is the record vinyl.
I wanted to ask about that. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's epic.
Yeah, super sweet. It's just arrived yesterday morning.
Yeah, I can't wait. So you're going to... Yeah. Okay, so before you give a little context to the to the album, so because Alex and I are on there, we're in the Raw Collective, but... Yeah, so how Yeah, talk a little bit about that. Like, first of all, we chatted through Tomo.
Yeah.
And we connected, talked.
Yeah.
You booked us for a show at the Fitzroy.
Yeah.
During Super Booth weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great show. Great, great location. Everyone, it was a great vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Met the other, well, this was before, like, before I was officially in, I guess, the collective. Like,
it yeah,
was
I think,
after the show, you asked us, and
yeah, I think at that point there wasn't really anything official. It was just me and Tomo, you know, working together to try and kickstart some of these events.
Mm-hmm.
I think like that all really happened quite naturally. Like, you know, after you guys came and played, and then things kind of grew for us. We just felt like it was, you know, just nice people, and it just felt right for the collective. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all happened like really naturally, which was nice.
Yeah, it was great. Like everyone was that whole night. Like that's Sarah played, and
yeah,
Bernhard.
Bernhard, yeah,
I always say his name backwards because it's but
Bernhard.
It was great. And then
that's pretty
much the birth of the vinyl.
I mean, it was always my dream to have like my first official release on vinyl. When I first started making music, and now it's happening, so that's really cool, because it seemed like when you are in the music, I don't know, there's like these things that are like down the road that you see, like it's like, okay, one day maybe down there, you know, and then this has arrived. So this is really, really cool. And, you know, it wouldn't be possible without Tomo for sure getting involved and helping organize. And so big shout out to Tomo.
Yeah, no, he's great. This is my first release on vinyl as well. So I'm really, you know, honored to be on the vinyl with you and all the other artists.
That's what I wanted to get at pretty much when we started to talk about your journey and how you mm-hmm. started without any open doors, and how many doors have you opened to so many artists in Berlin. Mm-hmm. It's astounding. And like, really, have you looked back and said, oh my god, this is what we've accomplished 2023, and how you're starting 2024 with vinyl. That's amazing.
Yeah. Again, like sometimes I always feel behind, like I haven't done enough, or I've been lazy or something like this. But yeah, I think in reality, for my time here in Berlin, which has been about 2.5 years, and I mean, Raw Industries, we just basically the first party was, like one year ago. So, we've done a lot and accomplished a lot with it so far. But I think it's just the beginning for us, which is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like growing and connecting with a lot of artists and that. I think like before I came to Berlin, I was in Toronto for quite a while and Montreal, and I had an art show business, which basically consisted of me like renting these venues, and I would showcase like 20 or 30 mixed media artists, so paintings, photography, visual, sculpture, everything, performance art, all kind of in like one big night. And so, I did this for 3 or 4 years. So during this time, I, was able to get quite familiar with like reaching out to artists and, learning about what they do and making connections and bringing people together. And I think this, you know, transformed to what I've been doing here in Berlin. And I think Berlin, when I got here too, everyone was kind of like, yeah, good luck. You're like, it's too competitive and there's too much competition and all this kind of stuff. But I don't know. I think if you pay attention to that too much, it's not a healthy idea. I think if you focus on your project and if you work hard and you put in the effort, like things will grow, definitely. Mm-hmm. One danger of Berlin that's, you know, talked about over and over, I don't need to get into it too much, but the party scene here is pretty deep. And I think that's probably the biggest thing with producers that come here, or I'm guessing that they get caught up in the party scene a little bit too much and get pretty distracted and aren't able to focus on their project enough. That's probably it. So, but yeah,
steers them away from their goal, I guess.
Yeah,
it's sometimes.
Yeah, because it takes a huge amount of time for these projects, like massive. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like the night of your party, not the Remy's, the night before the party, every single artist I've spoken to was like, and even in the party, like, the only thing that we could talk about was gear and the music scene and how much like it is a nerd like bubble all over. So I think you find some pretty good people that are pretty dedicated to their craft. And,
for sure.
You know,
for sure. But there's a lot of people making music here. A lot of DJs, a lot of producers. So it's great. It's a lot of opportunity to connect with people. And I think it's a great place, still probably one of the best places to grow as an artist early in your career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was great. Like, you were super hospitable.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. That was an amazing time there with you this time there.
Yeah.
Just having that party, you know, the pre-party before the Remise party.
Yeah.
It was like nice to be able to hang out with the artists and
everything. Yeah, I'm having another house party here next Friday.
Okay.
Bring us.
We'll see. Yeah. I don't know how it's gonna be too many people.
Is it a tea party? We're not gonna talk about that.
Yeah. It's gonna get hectic here. Yeah.
So I wanna talk about this.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Modular Music Magazine.
Yeah, I was going to ask you too.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Like, so I see, after being able to have the opportunity to spend some one-on-one time with you too, I saw your artistic side, like in all aspects, right? Not just the music, but just like your vision, the art that you have in your home. Mm-hmm. And so So this all kind of made sense to me. The magazine, like, you know what I mean? This like encompasses that. So do you want to tell us a little bit for those who, you know, are just familiarizing themselves with you and the magazine? Like, what is it? Like, what's the concept of it?
So, it's a little magazine that I started. This is just the second copy. I think, as of now, I will sort of aim to do two per year. And the magazine is meant to be a little bit more of like a art and photography book, kind of. So there's very little text in it, mostly because I don't like writing text. And I wanted it to be more of a visual piece that when people get a copy, it's something that, you know, will stick around or can sit on the table and they can look at, several years. And
it's very cool. Like, just kind of want to show.
Yeah.
I know, like, for those who are listening, I'm holding up the magazine and just kind of showing a couple of pieces of the art in the magazine. It's just, I like it. And thanks for having me in it too.
Yeah.
it's very cool.
Yeah. So I thought of it for a number of reasons. There's one other artist, Legoveld, that I quite like, and he does a lot of different art. And I mean, there's so many live performance musicians who are making art in other mediums. So a lot of artists are doing, you know, whatever, video stuff or painting or photography, all sorts of different stuff. And there's a lot of like synth related art actually, which is really cool. And you kind of maybe don't pay attention to it or see it that much, but it is there. There's a lot of people who are making art showcasing synthesizers, and you know, there's really nice photography from events. And so I wanted to kind of bring this all together into one little piece with artists that have been around me and influenced me in that way. And I also thought it was a really nice tool to connect with artists and reach out and sort of offer something like to feature them in the magazine and build relationships that way. And so, yeah, it's like has multi-purpose. And yeah, I'm
it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good way to
yeah, it's really cool. It's like something really, really special to me. And yeah, it's something physical you can hold in your hand. So, you know, with everything online these days with the Instagram and, you know, it's
like
quite...
everything's so fleeting, you know?
Yeah.
It's like fleeting scrolling. So it's
Trovarsi and I were in San Francisco recently and we went into Robot Speak, which is a modular store that is amazing. And he had posters of modular equipment everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's the photographer and he also used Photoshop to use it. Anyway,
yes.
He gave me a couple of the posters, which I was like ecstatic. He's like, these are misprints. I'm like, no, that's amazing art.
Okay.
My point is, it's all buried in a basement in San Francisco and no one gets to see it. And besides the people that go into the store. So maybe we'll put you in touch with him and maybe he'll revive that aspect of him because he's an amazing photographer and his photographs are sick.
Yeah.
Those posters
cool.
are sick.
Yeah.
To make that happen.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Yeah. So yeah, just trying to showcase some artists at that. So it's it's a nice little
building
little
communities thing. All around. Yeah. That's super sick.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph, what being a live artist now, having this journey, spending some years producing, what advice would you give to somebody who is just at that jumping off point? Like they wanna dive into the live aspects after production. What's some advice that you could offer?
Oof.
I know it's a loaded question.
I mean, I think everything improved for me when I moved from working just in Ableton and to a hands-on music box. It's a totally different experience, and there's limitations with each machine which maybe you don't experience with Ableton, because you can basically have an unlimited chain of effects and instruments and all this kind of stuff. So these types of limitations are good. But yeah, I would try and keep it somewhat simple in the beginning. If you're wanting to play live, you know, you just have to kind of break down your track a little bit. So you gotta have some different pieces for you know, your kick and sub and percussion, and then maybe each track you want to have, you know, four or five different layers of sort of lead sounds, something like this. And so you want to first maybe find out how you can what pieces you can get to actually make a full song. So I think like some people will, you know, maybe get like a little bassline synthesizer and like a drum machine, and then they won't really be able to make a song because they're a little bit limited. So some machines, like in my opinion, the Electron Syntact, if I was to recommend like one machine for someone to start making electronic music with a piece of hardware, I think the Syntact is the best possible option, because you have 12 tracks and a bunch of them are percussion tracks, a bunch of them are synthesizer tracks. You can really make like a full song on the Syntact, and it's a small compact, tiny machine, and it has analog synthesizers and digital, and it has all the different sound design parameters. So, you know, you're working with ADSRs and LFOs, and you can do a lot of your own shaping and that sort of thing, and you can save sounds and
learn and
man, I was just about to buy a Digitactor and Octatrack. I was going back and forth, and now you bring this in, and I'm like,
yeah, the Syntect is great. I had an opportunity to design some of the sounds that were released when it came out, and
oh yeah, I didn't know that.
I did. Cool. That was great. It was a great experience, and yeah, I have to agree with you. It is a great machine. Like,
yeah,
and you have all the MIDI tracks, and then not to mention Overbridge, where you could just kind of track it into Ableton later if you decide to chop it up. So, with that, then we're almost at the top of the hour. But with your advice, I noticed that another thing you recently started working on was you offered one-on-one. So do you want to tell people where they could best reach you if they did want to sign up with a one-on-one with you or whatever?
Cool. I mean, on Instagram is fine. By DM on Instagram. You can also email Hannah, who works with me. Okay. Which is Hannah@rawindustriesberlin.com.
And that's H-A-N-N-A-H, right?
H-A-N-N-A-H-N.
Hannah. Sure, leave it in the description. How about that? I'll make sure it's in the description so people can follow up. We'll also have all your links and everything. Do you have any shows coming up that you want to let us know, let everyone know about?
No, nothing right now. I had a location booked for early January, but I think I'm really going to try and take these next months and focus on producing some tracks for releasing.
Okay.
That's my like big focus. Cause I've been doing quite a few events, and it takes a huge amount of time to organize and do all the social media and all that kind of stuff. And I think my some of my studio production has been suffering a little bit because of that. And so the next three months, I really have my eyes on producing a lot of tracks in the studio for releasing on the Raw Industries label and some more official releases. So that's my goal right now. Yeah.
I wanted to give people context of the last party you threw and why it takes so much work. How many live artists did you have trying to sound check at the same time?
Yeah. That was 18. Was yeah.
Of, yeah. 18. Wrap your heads around that one.
I've been there with the SoCal stuff. It is a lot of work. It's a lot to wear all those hats. And I really commend you, you know, for all the work that you put in to not only showcase your music, but also showcase other artists, help build those relationships. And I, for one, and I know Alex does as well, really appreciate that.
Yeah, seriously. Cool. So,
and we're looking forward to getting back out there and in person and hanging out and playing some more shows with you. But we're also in the studio too.
Sweet.
I wanted to mention that I had the pleasure of interviewing Joseph during ADE in a pretty in-depth conversation. That one's coming out pretty soon.
Cool.
Look out for that one. Mm-hmm. And I am so looking forward to next year, and hopefully I'll be playing one of your programs too.
You guys,
live journey.
that's exciting too. I can't wait to have you guys out
for Super Booth. I'll be back again, so see you in May in person.
Okay. Cool.
And Joseph, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate having you.
Cool. Like, thanks, guys. It's been
thank
awesome.
You for making it a 7 a.m. techno morning.
I had this, got my coffee here.
The French good for press. You. Yeah. I know that French press well. Oh, man. All right. And that's all right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Transduction Signal. I'm your host, Travarsi, along with
Orly Gal.
And thanks for tuning in.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Ciao.